only thing to do.
Yeah. So, a limud of halacha every day is the zchus refuah shleima for Rabbi Yosef Dov ben Chayla, the shabbat refuah shleima b'korev, b'soy shel chol Yisrael. Hayoim, yoim, we just checked out what's the date today. Which day in Elul? Maxi, we just checked it.
You've got it here.
Well, today is the 17th of Elul. 17th of Elul is one of the days that's brought down in Siman Tov Kuf Pei in Halacha as a day when it's roi to fast. So those of you who've already had a coffee this morning, a bit too late to start now. But it's a day when it's roi to fast. Why? Because it says Shaboy. Because on that day, Mesu Moitzie Dibas Ha'oretz, that the spies, the Meraglim, who were Moitzie Dibas Ha'oretz, they died on that particular day, Yud Zayin Elul. And he brings down, and therefore it's Roy.
Press 5.
Okay. Okay, as we were saying before the broadcast started, today's Yud Zayin Elul. Yud Zayin Elul is the day when Moitzie Dibas Ha'oretz died, and whenever it's brought down in the Halacha, Siman Tov Kuf Pei, that it's one of those days when Chazal were koveya, that it must be today, probably a Tanis Tzadikim. I can't imagine that it's well known. It's not even well, asking around this Tzibur, it's not even well known. Shimon, Shkoyach.
No, you can't, you say you can't.
Hey. Shimon, do you know the Hebrew date today?
Today, yes, it's Yod Zayin.
Oh, at least one person in the Shia knows that today is Yod Zayin Elul. Yeah? So, 17th of Elul. Interesting is that in 1939, England declared war on Germany. Mm-hmm. Yeah? On the 3rd of September 1939, which was Yod Zayin Elul. It was also, I don't know which day of the week it was, but it was also Parshas Kisavoy, like this year, that Yud Zayin Elul falls in Parshas Kisavoy, which obviously is a serious sedra because of the Toichacha. So therefore, there's now, since 1939, I mean today, I imagine that if United Nations had been around then, and all the media had been around then they would have said that those nasty, horrible, aggressive English had declared war on the innocent Nazis, on the innocent Germans, who were just trying to get on with their lives and weren't bothering anybody. And then we started fighting them because who was it at the time? Chamberlain wanted to stay in power. They'd come up with all sorts of theories. So Bal Kolponim, it is a Yoim Tanis Tzadikim at least. And it's a day when one, obviously, the days of Tanesim, the Rambam says, are always Mesugal. That one should spend the time. It's not so important the fasting itself as the machshavas that go with the fasting, the tshuva and the tshuva tefillah stoka that one should do on the day of a fast. Okay. Kishkoisev adam igeres lachavero. If you write a letter to a friend, or even if it's not a friend, b'chodesh elul, maybe kol shekhen if it's not a friend, and you write a letter to chodesh elul until yom kippur, nochon shiyumas bo b'tchiloso b'sofei, somewhere in it you should mention b'yom yom avoyim l'ksiva v'chasima toiva, to wish the person l'ksiva v'chasima toiva. And it says that hu adin, of course, if you meet somebody and you're talking to them, then from Rosh Chodesh Elul it's the right thing to say to them ksiva v'chasima toiva. Today, I don't keep on getting, but I've had a number already for one reason or another of text messages, yeah, and everybody's writing KVT. KVT, yeah, Ksiva Vachsima Tova. Right, when Rabbi Bixenspanner did an appeal just now, he did a charity for the Hendon Alas building appeal. So he wrote thank you texts afterwards to all the people who donated, and there you have it, the KVT. So Ksiva Vachsima Tova is what we're saying is there's a Makor in Halacha for it, that he should actually wish a person already a Ksiva Vachsima Tova, and that can go all the way to Yom Kippur. Then it says Anshe Masa Noegim lived at Bechodesh Zeh Tefillin Mezuzah Shaleh. There's a mitzvah to be boiding the Tefillin Mezuzahs. The emes is the Tefillin that you use every day, and a mezuzah which is in a sheltered place doesn't need to be nivdak every year. It doesn't need once a year bedika. If it got wet, that's different. If your tefillin got wet, if they fell in the water, whatever it is, or they're in a very damp place or very moist or somewhere like that, then it's possible that they can become a bit moldy, they can become a bit damp. But in general terms, if you've been wearing your tefillin every day and they've been kept in a cool, dry place, then there's no chiyuv to be boiling them, because the pashtus is they've got chazaka for sure that they are kosher, unless you think that there's some reisa which has caused some damage. So therefore, yeah, but nevertheless, als an inyan of we're trying to show the Rabbeinu Shalom, we're trying to show the Rabbeinu Shalom up front, like the moshel that we had that was given in one of the shiurim here, yeah, the moshel of the person who got, the poor man who got notice from the king that the king was coming to visit, and he had a debate with his wife whether or not we do the place up or we don't do the place up. And his wife said to him, if your king comes and doesn't see that you've made an effort, that you've tried to be mechaber to him, so therefore we do things which are lifnim mishuras adin. We do things during Elul, and we do things during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, which are lifnim mishuras adin. This is one of those things. I've got a mitzvah tefillin. I do it every single day of the year. I want to make sure 100% that my tefillin are okay, and therefore to give them in for checking once a year. Some sofrim are not happy with it, because some sofrim say it's better not to keep on opening the batim and closing the batim. Sometimes you can lose out, because then the batim can be difficult to close, and then they're not 100% square, etc., etc. So you have to check with your local sofer, and he might have an opinion depending on when he sees your tefillin. Yeah? The mezuzah, same thing. You can take your tefillin. The emes says you can be boiding your mezuzahs yourself. If your mezuzahs have already been nivdak for chaserus yaserus, they've been computer checked, and they've been checked maybe once or twice by a sofer, and you know for a fact that the ksav is okay, and all and there's nothing wrong with the actual nusach or the ksav of the mezuzah, then all you're worried about is that it may have deteriorated.
Robot.
So yeah, so therefore,
the robot.
What's the robot? Oh, yeah. So therefore, in theory, you could check your mezuzahs yourself. But a sofer is probably more expert in checking it, because you get very fine cracks sometimes in letters, which you might miss, sofer will get. So lechatchila, if you can, you can be boiding your mezuzahs during Elul.
Started at Torway Northwest London, Friday, Yud Zayin Elul, 20th of September. Rabbi Shaul Rosenblatt, Shlita, Parsha theme. This week's Torway has been sponsored by Family Feingold, Lufa Simchat Nesoma, Hershey Koptiel, Nerio, and Perla Feingold, Shatichia. This pasta took place on Tuesday. Heat rots and shoot the bias, the mobius for the shame of Shalom. The sports are shrimp, Halim, and the Hosh was over term, the Shalom Bim Hero.
Thank you. Firstly, apologies. I know it said Parsha theme, but that was just the thing they put up there, because I didn't give them a title. I hope you'll excuse me. Hope you weren't all excited too about Parsha's Kisavoy. I'm going to talk about Inyana de Yema, which is somewhat similar anyway. So there is a Kabbalistic idea that you guys have probably heard. The idea that it comes really kind of from the idea that Avraham Avinu, you know, when the Malachim came, the Medrash says that it was Pesach and they were baking matzahs. And the obvious question, how's it possible to bake matzahs before Yitzis Mitzrayim? What's matzahs got to do with anything? At the time of Avraham Avinu, it doesn't seem like it was Nebuah. It seems like there was something more to it than that. And the Kabbalistic idea is that the Chagim are not commemorations of past events. They are moment-to-moment experiences in time. There's a metzias. There's a metzias of spiritual chayrus that's available on Pesach. And Avraham Avinu understood that and knew about that and was able to tap into that and understood that matzahs represented freedom and therefore used that himself with an understanding of what Torah is about and how it works. And there's a built-in to creation are the chagim. And so each chag has a spiritual messias associated with it. There's something to be gained from it. There's a benefit to be had. If you know what the chag is about, you can use it to your advantage and to grow and develop in the way that chag has to offer you. So I want to talk about Rosh Hashanah and sort of how that works with Rosh Hashanah. What is the potential of Rosh Hashanah? Pardon?
Plain water.
Thank you. Perfect. Amen. My Rosh Yeshiva of Noach Weinberg, Zeichet Tzedek Levracha, when he left America in the 1950s, his Rebbe was Rav Huttner, Zatzal, and he gave him three pieces of advice when he left America. And in those days, you left America, you were on a boat, it was the 1950s, you didn't know if you were coming back, you didn't know whenever you see each other again, so it was like the good old days when you say goodbye and who knows what, so you want to give him a bracha and some advice. So he said, gave him three pieces of advice. One piece of advice, in terms of chinuch, in terms of, because he knew he was a mechanech and was going to go into chinuch, he said the first thing is, don't expect a kaz taif. He says, this is not a generation, and this is 50 years ago, 70 years ago, I think it's much worse today. It's not a generation that understands what a kaz taif is about, and you're not necessarily going to get it. And I see that, and he saw that, and it's definitely, if you're looking for a kaz taif, you're going to be disappointed. And not just in chinuch, but in anything that you do in life. Better to not expect it and then be surprised when you get it, than be disappointed when you don't. The second thing is, he said, don't take a partner. He said loyalty is a very challenging commodity to come by nowadays, and the most fundamental mida you need in a partner is loyalty. And so these weren't like chikvi aliavo, these were advice. And the third thing he said, which is the thing I want to just mention for a minute, he said, don't speak to people about hell. Don't speak to people about Gehinnom. Don't talk about Yira. He says, it's a generation that struggles with that. You want to talk about Ahava. You want to talk about Ahavas Hashem. You want to talk about love. And if you ever kind of heard my Rosh Hashanah speak or know of any of his writings, that's very much his focus. It's Avinu Sheva Shamayin, Avinu Ahava Achamim, Hashem loves us, Bonim Atem Lashem Loikechem. It's that feeling, and it works so much better in this generation, certainly with younger people, to talk to them about, you have to do it, and you must, and you're going to get punished if you don't, and you're going to hell if you don't. Doesn't excite people, doesn't move people. It just makes people tense and sometimes even resentful. But to talk about love and the beauty of Judaism, the beauty of Torah, and what it has to offer you, and the dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the feeling of Abbas, that is something that will touch people, inspire people, and lift people. And so he said, make sure you speak in that direction. When you teach, they're two sides of the same coin, Ava and Yira, of course, they're both needed and they're both necessary, but he said, make your focus on Ava. I find very often, guys will correct me if I'm wrong, that the focus generally in the world about when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is more Yira than Ava. And in my mind, that's not so helpful for people. And I believe there is so much more Ava in the concepts of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur than there is Yira. Anyway, it's a misdirection of the whole idea and whole concept. And let's just start for a minute with Elul, the things we know about Elul. I would say there's three things we kind of know about Elul, three things that kind of Chazal point us to about Elul. The first one is the shofar. We blow shofar in the mornings at Elul. And the shofar's complicated. What does it mean? You know, there's 10 different ideas as to what the shofar's about. Let's put that one aside for a minute. But the other two things are very obvious. The second thing we do is we say L'David during Elul. And if you look at L'David is all about Ahava. Not a tiny little bit of Yira in that tilim. It's nothing there. Achashuati meis Hashem oisa avake, shivti meis Hashem kol yimei chaya, gyavi v'imi yazvuni v'Hashem yasfeini. The whole thing is about Hashem's love for us. And that fits very well with the third thing we know about Elul, which is it's an acronym for Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. Elul is about connecting to Ahavas Hashem. Elul is about bringing the feeling of Hashem into your life. Elul is about that feeling of bringing God back, bringing the feeling of Hashem's love back into your heart, and that feeling of connection. And that is how we prepare for Rosh Hashanah. If you go into Rosh Hashanah with a feeling of Hashem's love in your heart, you're going to do really well on Rosh Hashanah. It's going to be a very, very meaningful Rosh Hashanah, the extent to which you go with that feeling. With that feeling of connection, with that feeling of Hashem's presence in your life, with that feeling of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. That, to me, is what Elul is trying to point us towards. It's trying to bring that back into our lives. And that theme carries on through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Chazal tell us, Dirshu Hashem b'matzoi, Kalir b'yosei kalav, your pasuk in Yeshaya. Seek Hashem when he's to be found. Call him when he's close. These are the 10 days of tshuva. The 10 days of tshuva, Hashem is to be found. Hashem is close. Hashem comes close to us. on during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. My Rosh Hashanah used to say, he said, why is it that you look around the world and you go to different shuls around the world, different communities around the world, if there's one day in the year that a Jew is going to go to shul, if he doesn't go to shul any other day of the year and he just goes one day of the year, what day would that most likely be? Yom Kippur. That day would most likely be Yom Kippur. He says, that's madness. Why is that? Why does he go on Yom Kippur? Why on the day where we beat our chests and we do the vidui and we fast the whole day, go on Simchas Torah, go on Purim, go on, there's a different days to go. Why Yom Kippur? Why that day? He said, and I think he's right, that is the day that the Jewish neshama feels most connected to Hashem. Hashem is to be found on Yom Kippur. Hashem is there, he's available. It's a call to the Jewish soul. It doesn't matter how disconnected you are, how removed you are. Some people are even more removed than that, sadly, and don't go at all. But even those who are more removed than others feel something on Yom Kippur. They know Hashem's presence. They know what it feels like. They feel connected. They want to go to shul and they want to experience it and they want to engage in it. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are days to feel Hashem's presence, are days to feel connected to Hashem. They are known as the Yomim Noiraim. Now, days of awe. Anyone ever had an experience of awe in their life? Anybody tell me an experience you had of awe? No awe going on for you guys? Magnificent mountains. Magnificent mountains. You go to the Alps, you go to Switzerland. Magnificent mountains. For me, it's icebergs. If you've ever seen an iceberg, iceberg is the most awesome experience you could possibly imagine in the entire world. You go and see them in Iceland, by the way. They're not so far away. You don't have to go to Antarctica to go and see icebergs. Or solar eclipse. I went to a solar eclipse this year in April. My second one. I don't think of anything more awesome than a solar eclipse. It is just so moving and so touching. And it just... the tears stream down my eyes when I see a solar eclipse. Now, let me ask you a question. The feeling of awe, is it a negative feeling, a neutral feeling, or a beautiful feeling? Which one would you say? It's a beautiful feeling. It's a beautiful, uplifting, gorgeous feeling. That's the feeling of the Yomim Noraim. It should be a beautiful feeling. It should be a touching feeling. It should be an uplifting feeling. It should be a feeling of standing in Hashem's presence. There's no greater awe than a feeling of Hashem there. What greater awe is that? You see the stars, you see the solar eclipse, you see icebergs, Hashem's much bigger and much greater than any of that. It's no comparison. And you feel the awe of being in Hashem's presence. That is the most beautiful experience possible. And that, to me, is the feeling that we're looking for in the Yomim Noraim. You're looking for a feeling of being touched, a feeling of being lifted, a feeling of you know, I'm really excited. If you were telling me I'm going to go and see some icebergs tomorrow, or there's a solar eclipse, there's another one, by the way, 2026. It goes to Spain and Iceland. So a little recommendation for you all, bonus recommendation here. It's in August 2026. If I was going to see a solar eclipse, I'd be so excited. Oh my gosh, that experience, that exciting experience. To me, that's the feeling of we should have towards the Yom Noraim. What it's like exciting. They're coming up. Hashem's coming. Hashem's coming to us. During the year, we need to go to Him. It's hard work. A little bit harder work. You want to feel Hashem in your life, you've got to put in some effort. Yomim Noraim, He comes to you. He's there. He's available. Dirshu Hashem Behi Matsoi, He is there. He's right there. How exciting is that? How is that something to look forward to and be just amazing? Looking forward to that experience. To me, that's the feeling of Elul and the Yomim Noraim approaching. So I want to talk specifically, though, about Rosh Hashanah. And Chazal tell us, as we know, specifically the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah say that you get a haircut and you dress in nice clothes before Rosh Hashanah because we're not worried. We're not worried. It's a beautiful day for us. It's not a day of fear. It's not a day of trepidation. It's a day of celebration, almost. It's a day, well, it is. It's a Yom Tov, you know. It is a day of celebration. So it's not a day of stress. It's not like Chazal tell us, it's not like going before a non-Jewish court, you know, where you're worried and you don't know and you're nervous and you're uncertain. No, this is a day where we go in feeling confident and feeling confident in Hashem's love. That Hashem's with us, that He's on our side, that He cares about us. And that's the feeling that you want to go in with that feeling of Hashem loves us and He's there for us and He's with us. But there is judgment, of course, the Yom HaDin. And I want to talk for a minute about that judgment and what it's about. And I want to just kind of ask a question that's really an obvious question, and I'm sure you've heard before in different fashions, maybe in different ways of asking it. And that is, if we are judged on... You ask most people, what are you judged on Rosh Hashanah? My experience, most people tell you, you're judged on what you've done in the last year. How did you behave? What did you do? Did you do mitzvahs? Did you not? Did you cast a sham? You did some averus? How did you do? But if it's that, then I would ask the question, there's no point in Rosh Hashanah. What's the point in Rosh Hashanah? Because too late. Anything I do this Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to be judged on next Rosh Hashanah. Not this Rosh Hashanah. This Rosh Hashanah is finished. The actions that I've done were finished at the end of last year. So I might as well lie in bed and just wait to see what happens. You know, it's too late to do anything now because the year's closed. The year's come to a close. This is already the new year. Now, it might be a good idea to use this Rosh Hashanah well so that I get judged well next Rosh Hashanah. But not for last year. How does that work? And how does that fit together? So, and I think, again, I'm sure you know this. I'm not adding anything new over here, but I just want to kind of develop the idea a little bit. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that on Rosh Hashanah, on the first of Tishrei, kol ovrei olam, kol bai olam ovrim lefanav kuvnei morai. All people in the world, Jews and non-Jews alike seemingly, come before God like sheep before the shepherd. Now, it's an interesting parallel, interesting metaphor, sheep before a shepherd. Let me ask you a question. When sheep come before a shepherd, is he looking at how they behaved in the previous year? This sheep ran around a lot. This sheep slept a lot. This sheep had a lot of energy. That's not what he's looking at. What's he looking at? Pardon? No, but he's judging. I think that means, when, by the way, sheep before shepherd is, which one's he going to use for wool, which one's he going to shecht, which one's he going to...
Did he gain weight?
Well, not gain weight. Okay, that's, yeah, absolutely. But weight might be an issue with sheep, you're right. It might be with us as well, but, you know, I'll leave that to think about for yourselves. But are they fat? Are they not fat? It doesn't matter if he was fat and he's been on a diet and he's got thin now, or if he was thin and he's put on too much weight. He's looking at the sheep right now. That's what he's interested in. Ah, this is a fat sheep. We can check that one. This one's a bit thin. We'll use that for his wool this year. Maybe we'll fatten it up this year. This one, we need to feed it better this year. Whatever it is. But the point is that he's looking at the sheep as it is right there and then. He's looking at the sheep, right? How it looks in that moment. Not its past. Its past is irrelevant. It's not what matters. And people point out, in terms of asking, what is the Kriya Satayra on the first day of Rosh Hashanah got to do with Rosh Hashanah? Second day makes sense, the Akedah, it's very connected to Rosh Hashanah, but the first day, other than maybe you'll say, well, it's the part before the second day, so they kind of, Chazal threw that one in there as well. They don't work like that usually, Chazal, in my experience. The one line in the Kriya Satayra of the first day is when it says that Hashem judged Yishmael ba'asher husham, as he was there, as he was right there. And there's a Rashi on it, and let's put the Rashi aside for a minute. The Poshup Shat on that is, even though Rashi says he's coming to say the Poshup Shat, the Poshup Shat on that to me is that he wasn't a good guy, and he hadn't lived a good life, and he hadn't been necessarily a good person through the past little time in his life. And if you judge him based on what he's done, maybe he deserves to die. But right now he's a good man. Right now he's a tzaddik. Right now, as he is right here, right now, he does not deserve to die. And Hashem sent a malach and saved him. And in my mind, the same is true on Rosh Hashanah. That's what it's pointing to on Rosh Hashanah. And that is the greatness of Rosh Hashanah. And that is the power of Rosh Hashanah. And that is part of what's exciting about Rosh Hashanah, is that if you get it right on Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't matter what you've done in the year. Now don't get the idea in your head, well, let's just do what I want to in the year and I can just get it right on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't necessarily go that way. You know, the Rambam says, Moshe says, the person who is on their deathbed and they've been a Rosh their whole life and they do tshuva in the last moments of their life, they're tzaddik gamur. Complete tzaddik gamur. So it's true not just on Rosh Hashanah, it's true in your life in general. That what matters is who you are right now, not what you've done and how you've lived. And by the way, it goes the other way, the Rambam says, unfortunately. The person who is a tzaddik gamur his entire life, and on his deathbed, or even before, they give the example of Ishmael Kohen Gadol, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, that you've been a tzaddik your whole life, and on your deathbed you regret what you've done, he's a Rosha. Doesn't matter. You've been a holy man. You've learned a lot of Torah. You've done a lot of mitzvahs. Doesn't matter what you've done. If you regret it at the last moment of your life, it's all over. That's who you are. That's how you die. You die as that human being, as the human being who doesn't want this, who isn't interested in this. What matters is who you are, Basher Husham, who you are right in that moment. And that's why Rosh Hashanah has a power. That's why Rosh Hashanah is so helpful and so meaningful and so valuable. And I'll give you a little metaphor just to kind of help in my mind to see how that works. Let's say I buy my child a drone for his birthday. He wants a drone, you know, one of these things that fly in the air. And I buy it him, and he says, oh, thank you very much, and he kind of puts it on his shelf, and then day by day I walk past his room and he hasn't even opened it. And it comes to the end of the year, and he still hasn't opened it. And I say, what do you want for your birthday this year? He says, can I have an upgraded drone, please? I'm like, oh, hold on a second, I don't know about that. What, are you going to sit on your shelf again? You want to waste another year of this drone? But let's say on his birthday, he suddenly remembers he has this drone. And he gets it out. And he gets it out of the box and he puts it all together and he's flying it for the whole day and he's loving his drone and he's really excited about his drone. Well, let's say the day before his birthday. And then he says to me, Abba, I'd love another drone. I'm like, oh, okay, you know what? Maybe he's going to use his drone this year. Maybe he's going to enjoy it. Maybe it's not a waste of money. Maybe it's not a waste of time. That to me is the same thing on Rosh Hashanah. Is that, let's say we haven't used our year as well as we might have. I'll speak for myself, not for the esteemed audience. But let's say I haven't used my year as well as I might have. Let's say I left a lot of it sitting on the shelf unopened. A lot of possible things I could have done unopened on the shelf. But at least on Rosh Hashanah, if I get my act together and I have a realization that hey, there's something to be had here. There's a life ahead of me. There's opportunity. There's possibility. If I can wake up to that on Rosh Hashanah, then Hashem might just say, hey, this is a guy who's going to use the next year. Because to me, that's what Hashem's judging. Is it worth giving you another year? Are you going to take advantage of another year? You're just going to waste it. If you're going to waste it, why would he give it you? Why do you bother to give somebody something that's just going to let it sit on the shelf and do nothing with it? Just waste it in nonsense and just useless, doing useless things. But if you get into your heart, and in my mind it has to be in your heart, we don't pretend with God, Rahman Liba boy. You get into your heart that what life is. And the beauty of it all is that on Rosh Hashanah you can get into your heart. Because like I said at the beginning, it's a Metzias Rosh Hashanah. It's not some past event. It's not some thing the Torah tells us to do on this day. No, on the day, on the first of Tishrei and the second of Tishrei, there is an experience available of getting touched, of getting moved, of getting uplifted, of seeing something bigger, of seeing something greater, of seeing something more than you see during the rest of the year. And if you can get aligned with that, and you can bring that into your heart, that feeling that's available there, you so Hashem that God, I want a year of accomplishment. I want a year of giving, of contribution, of being of service. I want a year of growth. I want a year of wisdom. I want a year of development. I want a year of being kind. And you mean it? And you get moved by that? How could Hashem not give you another year? It's a child, you know? How could I not give my child another drone? I love my child. Assuming I can afford it, you know? And why wouldn't I give it to him? Why wouldn't Hashem give us another year? Why wouldn't Hashem want that? Hashem wants us to live, to be alive, to grow, to develop. That's what he's looking for. And if we embrace that, then impossible in my mind that Hashem wouldn't do it. Shemes Chashbainus, I don't want to say impossible, but for the most part. So, to me, Rosh Hashanah is about lifting your sights. It's seeing something more. It's seeing something greater. What I like to say on Rosh Hashanah, the thing that gets me, is the my favorite speech of all time, is Martin Luther's King's speech, famous speech, I Have a Dream. If you've never read it, I highly recommend that you read it. It's beautiful, beautiful, touching, moving ideas. I have a dream that one day the sons of slaves and the sons of slave owners will sit down together at the table of brotherhood. Beautiful, beautiful vision that he paints for how America could change, how America could be. One day I have a dream that my children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Really, moving stuff. We Jewish people have a dream as well. We have a dream. I would even say God has a dream. God has a dream for how he wants this world to be, for what he wants from this world. And on Rosh Hashanah is the day that we dream that dream. If you look at the davening, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah created for us, the davening of the Uvacheins and beyond, beautiful ideas, touching ideas, the idea that Hashem, the whole world could know about God. When I say that line there, here's what I think of. I have a lot of visualizations in my davening that help me feel a sense of connection. The visualization I have for that is the United Nations. Imagine the United Nations sitting together, talking about how we can serve God. How can we serve God better? That's on the agenda today in the United Nations. And Iraq's there, and Iran's there, and Russia's there, and China's there, and Palestine's there, even if you want. And they're all talking about how can we, together, as humanity, bring God into this world and serve him. Imagine that. That's the dream that we dream on Rosh Hashanah. That is our dream. That is God's dream. A humanity that is uplifted, a humanity that is godly, that is seeking godliness, that is seeking that greatness. That's the picture that we paint for ourselves on Rosh Hashanah, and we dream it. We want to get out of our pettiness, the smallness of our own lives, and get our will aligned with God's will. Rosh Hashanah is a day to stop worrying about what we want and start worrying about what Hashem wants. And so on Rosh Hashanah, I always say, you don't daven for yourself on Rosh Hashanah. You don't daven for others. Daven that Hashem's will is done. That's you look at the davening. That's what the davening is. The davening is we are davening that Hashem's will should be done. See, I say, if a person davens, this is just my little thing. Take this from me or leave it. But if a person davens for themselves on Rosh Hashanah, you're missing the point. If you're davening for another year of life, if you're davening for health, if you're davening for shidduch, whatever person might be davening for in the coming year, to me, here's what my parallel to that is. It's like you get to go on Supermarket Sweep. You know Supermarket Sweep? Remember that game show they had? Supermarket Sweep. Basically, you get to go in a supermarket with a trolley, and you get 1 minute. And whatever you can get in your trolley in 1 minute, you get to keep. So you've got to plan ahead because you want to know where's the best things to go to, you know? Where do I want to get? What do I want to get in the 1 minute? I say davening for yourself on Rosh Hashanah is like doing a supermarket sweep in Harrods and coming out with a teddy bear. That's all you got. You went around the whole of Harrods and with a trolley and you could take anything you wanted and you got a teddy bear. It's like I'm davening that I should live for the next year. It's so small, it's so petty, it's so insignificant in the scale of things. We're looking to lift ourselves into the awe of this world. This is such an incredible world. This is such an incredible life. There is so much available here in terms of us to be able to contribute towards Hashem's will being done in this world. If we could get ourselves aligned with Hashem's will on Rosh Hashanah, that is what we are looking to do. That is what we're looking to achieve. Now, you'll tell me, and I'll just finish with this, that hold on a second. If you look at what's the most common word that we say in the Rosh Hashanah davening, what would you say? And in the things that we add on during the Chaim. Chaim is the word that comes up everywhere. We're praying for Chaim. Zochin l'chaim. L'chavetz v'chaim. Kasuva seva chaim. Over and over again. Chaim, Chaim, Chaim. Sounds like we're davening for life. Sounds like we're saying, I want to live next year. I don't believe that's what we're saying. The Gemara says that tzaddikim are alive even after they stop breathing. And Rishayim are dead even while they're still breathing. Life and death is not about whether you're breathing or not. It's not about whether your heart is beating or not. It's whether you're alive. Are you in this world? Are you engaged? Are you conscious? Do you know what you're doing? Are you contributing? Are you involved? Or are you fast asleep? As the Rambam says, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah says, wake up, you sleepers. We're sleepwalking through life. We're dreaming. That's not life. That's not being alive. That's being asleep. That's what we do most of the year, sadly. On Rosh Hashanah, we pray that we can wake up. We pray that we can be alive in the coming year, alive with a feeling of God in our lives, alive with a feeling of the awe of the world that we live in and the potential and the possibility of the life that is available to us. That's what we're asking for. We're asking for that type of life. Not a life of sleepwalking, not a life of dreaming, but a life of connection to God and a life of uplift and a life of goodness and greatness. That's what we ask for when we ask for Chaim. And Yitzhak Hashem, you still have a ksima tova for a next year of real, proper, meaningful Chaim.
I was going to do this again because you didn't have Parsha theme. I thought I stole away from the beginning.
Needs to ask me earlier next time and I give it time.
I normally ask, but I was always rushing. I normally get the speaker.
You should know that, especially when it's a Parsha theme, you better ask what you're speaking about. That's like a standard line when you don't know. Yeah. It'll come back to the Parsha exam. I'm sure I could have connected if I wanted to. Sorry.